guys, welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day 6 at US Open. Do you know, in my head, I was going to say Wimbledon again.
You caught yourself. Well done.
Oh, sorry, guys. We are on court 4, podding from here. So again, you know, coming with the ambiance from
indeed
US Open and the New York streets. How are you, Eugene?
I'm good, Lucy. Tired, but like...
Exhausted.
Yeah,
tired's not even the word. I'm exhausted.
Exhausted.
I just... Do you know what? Someone... Oh, I forgot their app. I'm so sorry if you're listening to this. But shout out to you. You made me realise that I need to take it easy. Someone did at us like, yeah, you know, Lucy, take it easy. Don't crash again. Don't overdo it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it this time. So I'm trying to listen to my body, you know, like yesterday... Normally, as soon as we're done podding, I edit, and I was at to Eugene. I was like, I can't. Like, yeah. I actually need to go to bed.
I'm pretty sure Wendell said that to us.
Did Wendell say that as well?
From the West Coast. Shouts out to Wendell.
Shout out to Wendell.
And his wife. They were here early in the week.
Unfortunately,
we couldn't get to link up with them.
A lot of our listeners, actually, we missed out on.
Yeah. We did caught up with Catherine, which was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much everyone's been saying the same thing in terms of like, yeah, just make sure you guys take it easy. Because they get it. They understand.
They understand. And I really appreciate that because the thing is, I am a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So I actually get frustrated when it's like, damn, like, I did not edit. Damn, the pod is not out. Damn, like, even now, for example, I'm fighting myself not to feel crap that I didn't upload it on YouTube yet.
Relax.
But it's like, but that's just a me thing.
Yeah,
it's not a thing. But yeah, so, but we're here.
Indeed.
You know, I'm still thankful for being here, podding on court 4.
Always.
You know, my bro.
Always.
And having all these listening, enjoying the pod. So, yeah, shout out to everyone for tuning in. Thank you guys for getting the merch, bro.
Oh, man, everyone's responding in.
Getting the merch. And if you haven't, please do. If not, guys, please rate and review our pod on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Please.
On the merch, though, as well. Like, please take pictures and, like, send them to us. Upload them, like, to social, like...
Yes, for sure. Shout out to Luke.
It's good content.
Yeah.
My boy Kieran messaged me earlier, although from Ireland. Well, he's Irish, but back in London. Yeah, he got his hoodie, which is nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please, guys, if you do end up buying the merch, like, yeah, feel free to send us a picture of you, like, rocking it.
Thank you.
Let's get into day 6, Lucy.
We did have
the queen.
Come on.
6-time champ
the
on the grounds.
The actual goat, by the way.
The goat, exactly.
The goat.
That's the only goat I recognise, to be fair.
Exactly, facts.
But yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get to see her like in person, but I know she was, she was in and around the grounds.
The grounds.
There was a nice
picture
of her and Iga Świątek.
Well, video, they were just chatting in the gym.
Yeah, in the gym, which was nice. Yeah. I think
the reason why I really liked seeing that is because Iga has started, you know, breaking some of Serena's records. So it's like, you know, she's seeing, do you get what I mean? Like, it's like, damn, like, new gen and stuff. And yeah, it's pretty dope when you're on job and then you have the greatest tennis player we've ever had, you know, even just chatting to you.
It's big, definitely.
It's big. Serena was real about being a Sinner fan. She was watching Sinner, you know, singing to Not Like Us, apparently, you know. Shout out to Kendrick Lamar.
Tired of that song, you know, I'm not going to lie to you.
But you're sounding like someone that we know that said the same thing. I'm not going to say the name.
But we move.
That's what I'm saying. Kendrick shouted out our queen. So I'm going to love that song forever. Captain, stand up.
But let's get into the actual tennis. So Jasmine Paolini got the day off to a winning start.
Yes.
Beating Yulia Putintseva in straight sets. It was a really good match from Paolini.
For sure.
Now she's literally made second week of every Grand Slam this year, which is a first for her and a first for an Italian woman.
Yeah, Italian woman.
Which is just incredible.
Incredible. The fact that she achieved that. I know everyone is talking about that with her and Coco. So they're the only ones, them to have done it. But with Paolini, it's different because this is like her breakthrough year.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is her breakthrough year and she's done that is just amazing. And it just shows the potential that, you know, she has. And most importantly, it shows that she can really do her thing on any surface.
Facts. All court, all surfaces.
All surfaces, whoever she's facing. So, yeah, shout out to Paolini. And I think that's why I wasn't too scared going into this match. You know, I was pretty confident for her. But, yeah.
Even though Putintseva, she kind of came in like in good form.
Definitely.
But, yeah, Paolini, she looked really comfortable, I'd say, throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Really and truly. it was a funny kind of, I say, exchange. Putintseva had the trainer come out because I think she had some blisters.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I'm pretty sure Paolini was leading. And I always kind of feel, I don't know, I feel some type of way sometimes when players like call out the trainer, like when they're behind, because I feel like they're trying to
tactic.
Like throw up. Yeah, like, and of course it's a legal thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, if you're
both cheeky.
But yeah, like, and I mean, I don't know if that was a deliberate tactic on Putintseva's part, but it didn't work.
It's not exactly. It's not far-fetched. Two, one thing that has helped. I mean, she's even said it many times herself, Paolini. You know, her confidence, her mentality has got her to where she is. And I feel like Paolini is a player that doesn't easily get distracted.
Yeah, no, she's very,
she's
like, locked
very,
in.
She's very, like,
yeah,
locked in
yeah,
and zoning.
Yeah.
And this was even before this year.
Yeah.
So them type of tactics, yeah, it can't, you know. I mean, look at her attitude when she's playing.
I mean, to be fair, in the first set, she was 3-love up.
Exactly.
Putintseva did come back.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you said, like, basically Paolini kind of like just, yeah, locked in again.
For sure.
And just got the job done in terms of securing that first set and then kind of carried on that momentum into the second.
Exactly.
But looked comfortable throughout, really. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a pretty solid performance. She even used the word solid in her on-court interview after, like, just saying, yeah, she thought the performance from herself was just solid overall. She also mentioned it was Blair Henley that interviewed her.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke about this as well, like in the preview of the match, saying, oh, it's the battle of the shorties because they're both like 5 foot four, according to the WTA website.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something Paolini's always kind of got credit for in terms of like her height and just her ability to, I don't know, like just generate a lot of power for someone so small.
Yeah.
But watching that match, Lucy, as well today, like I just found myself like appreciating her kind of ground strokes, especially the forehand. Like, it's a beautiful shot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The way she sets up so early with it, and like she can dictate a lot with that forehand, and she kind of did that today.
Yep.
I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Her serve too, which she kind of spoke about in her press conference after her second round match.
I think for me. I think for me, it was really her movements. I was really
she's
admiring
a great mover.
That. She's a fantastic mover. And I think I personally kind of took that for granted. When I was watching that match, I was like, damn, Paolini got them feet.
Yeah.
but yeah, honestly, like, as you said, like she was brilliant during that match. She really looked like someone, I don't know, she looks like someone that's, I can see Paolini going all the way to the finals again.
Oh,
I'm
wow. So what that'd be? Back-to-back-to-back Grand Slam
back
finals.
Back-to-back-to-back. I don't know, man. She's looking comfortable. And I think... And she... Because she faced... She has such a tough first round so early as well.
It's set her
and
up
she's
nicely.
On form. You know, I kind of feel like... And plus, she's not playing doubles right now. So
well,
her
yeah,
body's
now
resting a little
out.
Bit
yeah.
more because she's been grinding this year. I mean, you know... Oh, and speaking of that, shout out to the WTA players who played at the Olympics again. And, you know, they are here killing it. It's the ATP ones that's a bit, they're tired.
Stop
but
it.
Look, women are, they always play that, who run the world, girls. But hey, here we are. But
slightly off topic, but okay, I'm joking.
No, really?
I'm joking.
Really?
I'm hating as a man.
hating
as a man.
Shout out to all the ladies out there, you know. We are the hard workers here. The
it's
fellas, aight.
It's all good.
no, but the reason why I'm saying that is because she's been playing a lot of matches and stuff. So I'm saying it in a way of, like, I really think, fatigue or either an extremely tough opponent, whoever can like really beat Paolini can obviously just stop her run. But as of right now, the way she's locked in, the way she's playing, because she has everything at the moment.
Yeah.
There's not really anything like slacking. I think it's funny you mentioned her serve because I think this her recent press conference, she did say that she felt like she could serve a little better.
Yeah.
But she also said that one thing that's really has helped her is her confidence. So I think she's playing, and that's what I said even earlier, like her vibe and her the way she is on the court, you know, she's really into it. Like, she's tapping herself, she's talking to herself and stuff, like, she's really locked in. So, I think Paolini will make it very far. I'll be really surprised if she doesn't. But then again, her next round?
Carolina Mukova.
Hmm.
It's going to be an interesting one.
Very interesting.
I'm looking forward to it, though.
For sure.
A lot of, like, mutual respect as well, kind of between both players. So Paolini was asked about, basically, yeah, the prospects of facing Carolina Mukova next, and this is what she said.
Me too. I'm a fan of her. I'm a fan of her. She's playing unbelievable. I really love how she plays. She can play every shot, slice, volleys, serving volleys. So she's a very complete player, I think, very tough opponent. But I think, and I hope we can play a really, really good match. I think she's serving better than me. She's taller, so easier for her. But I don't know. I think she has a little bit different game of me, because she's, I think, she has more variety, like she slice, serve and volley, me a little bit less. I cannot slice that much as her, but you know, I don't know what to expect. I think I played last time here against her in the qualifying in second round, I think, in 2018-19, I don't know, so a long time ago. Have still to speak with my coach about the match, and yeah, we'll see.
So yeah, it was nice kind of exchange. Well, I say exchange, just nice words. And that's another thing too, like, she's such a nice girl, and it's nice to kind of know now that, like, the players are seeing that, even though obviously they're competitors.
Yeah.
But it's like, she's difficult to, like, not like,
yeah,
basically.
100%,
like,
yeah.
She's just a very likeable person.
She's a likeable person. She's respectful. She's kind. She's smart. And she plays a good game of tennis.
Yeah, exactly. A very, very good brand of tennis. So we look forward to that matchup.
On Monday, right?
Which is, yeah, exactly. I'm going to say that'll probably be on, probably Louis.
I think Louis.
Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
Could be on Ash, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, because
she's
more Louis.
The fifth seed, so.
True.
We will see where mm-hmm. where that gets placed. Moving on to the men now. We only had two matches today, Lucy.
Yeah, we did.
In terms of singles.
Yep.
So world number 143, Gabriel Diallo, took on the 14th seed and world number 14, Tommy Paul of America. Good match, Lucy.
Yeah.
Four setter. Diallo started really well, won
mm-hmm.
the opening set.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fell away, like, in sets two and three, but then in the fourth I thought, oh wow, he's gonna take it again, raised to a 3-love lead,
yeah
and then got pegged back,
yeah,
and it was very tight in that fourth.
I feel like the entire match was really tight.
Two and three, Paul was the better player,
better player.
I was worried, like, thinking, shit, this, sorry to swear, but I was like, damn, this is gonna be, Diallo's just fallen away, he's fallen away here, like, and understandably, because he's played qualifying, don't forget you have to play three matches to get through qualifying.
Yeah,
he had a four setter against Munar, and a four setter against Feast.
Mm-hmm.
So he's played a lot of tennis.
He did say in his press that he actually did feel like those two sets where, like, you know, you said that Paul was playing well.
Yeah.
Diallo did say that, you know what, I actually started feeling the fatigue.
Oh, and understandable,
stuff.
Man.
I mean, yeah, if you look at how he's been playing this entire summer, he's been playing a lot, because it's not like he was losing the first rounds. He won a challenger this summer. I think the next one, or it was one of them, or the one after that.
He was at the
semi-finals.
He went deep,
and then he's playing qualifying for the actual, you know, ATP tour, like, level matches and stuff, a tournament, sorry. So yeah, I'm not too surprised, but at the same time, you know, Tommy Paul, this match actually made me appreciate Tommy Paul more.
Wow,
I don't
okay.
watch him as often.
Yeah.
I do have friends that actually do really like him and play and talk highly about his game and stuff, but I watched most of his match during Queens, of course.
Okay.
Being there and everything else, the title that he did win. But yeah, honestly, it's not easy having to face Tommy Paul with the way that his... I think I was fascinated at the fact that he's not like a lot of my favourite players are powerful players.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm always fascinated when I watch a player who's not like focusing too much on the power, but more about, like, the tactics and the spins and, you know, the way they move.
I think he's very athletic, Paul.
Yeah, he is, 100%. So, you know, like, Jello will be hitting one strong forehand and he was just like, you know, keep it slightly, but the way that shot is hitting is just completely different. But it was a brilliant match. It was up and down, but to me personally, I still feel it was really, because even the, I think they kind of, their break points are not too far from each other as well. I think it was like,
I remember when I was during the last set.
Are you talking overall? Overall, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, there was, I don't know, like if you look at overall.
Yeah, so Paul had 20 break points and converted 9. Diallo had 15 and created, converted 5. So yeah, pretty so close.
You get what I mean? Yeah, and there was a time during that match where on Diallo's side it was higher than Paul, Diallo, then Paul. Like it was literally like up and down. But again, Paul being the highest seeded player, more experienced, you know, he's had a very good summer as well. But at a higher level, you know, I knew coming to this would be definitely tough for Diallo, but he fought through. The fact that I'm happy he at least won a set.
For me, like I kind of started with the rankings because it did not feel like a player that was ranked. Diallo did not look like a player ranked 143 in the world.
Facts.
Like he looked like a top 100 player, and to be fair, all tournament he's looked like a top 100 player.
I'm with you on that.
And I think in the live rankings he's just outside. I think he's like 103. Mm. So he's about to break top 100 for the first time, and we look forward to that happening.
For sure.
But yeah, I feel like this match is going to give him so much confidence going forward, and not even just this match, but this run, because like we've kind of established, like he's beaten Fils in the second round, who's a top 30 player, Jérôme Munar, like a kind of, you know, he's been in the top 100 for a while now, like he's an established top 100 player, beat him in 4, and now to run a top 20 player in Tommy Paul, very close to taking that to 5 sets.
Yeah, very close.
And if it went to a fifth, Lucy, like that would have been anyone's match, because momentum, like as we kind of always say on this pod, like it's a funny thing in this sport. Yeah, like so it was just good seeing like Diallo kind of give a good account of himself. And I thought also too, like it was obviously Paul's an American, so he had the majority of the crowd like rooting and cheering for him.
He did say in his press that he actually did still like the atmosphere. That was one question I didn't want to ask him, but luckily someone did ask him. But he did say that he liked the atmosphere and everything. Like, you know, he was also surprised that, you know, some people were cheering.
Yeah, he had a little corner like behind us,
I think, because he did say that he had like a lot of like friends and family, so I think maybe it was them.
And like we said, he did go to college in America.
He went to college in America as well, so there's that as well. And again, you know, Canada's not far from New York, you know, so Canadians were here. And shout out to the Canadians shouting, because a lot of times the Americans were like side-eyeing them, like, what are you doing? This is America. So what?
America.
Diallo is not American. So, yeah. But yeah, he still liked the atmosphere. I mean, it's still a pretty big deal. As he said, you know, it's the biggest court, biggest match of his life. You know, it's been his biggest run of his life so far.
At a Grand Slam,
the beginning. But yeah, I actually did ask him, like, you know, he had a great summer, and despite how everything ended, you know, he did really well. And, you know, asking him how he feels and what were his highlights, and this is what he had to say.
My highlights, I mean, you know, playing here was pretty special. It was only my second time playing the main draw of a Grand Slam, so the first one I lost in French Open, I still had it in my throat. It was quite hurtful, losing in 5 sets. So, you know, being able to get my first win and then bouncing back and getting another win was pretty special, coming from qualies. And, you know, just very happy with the fact that I was able to put a lot of matches together that summer, and hopefully the momentum can carry away.
So, yeah, honestly, I was happy to see that he remained positive.
Yeah, I like that.
He was remaining cool, and he said that he was still very proud of what he has accomplished, even to the French press as well.
You stay for the French?
I stay for the French. He did say that he is planning to, you know, go back home, disconnect and rest. He's been, as we said, he's been playing like crazy, so he does deserve that rest. He's happy overall. Like, you know.
You missed what I said about you stay for the French, and I said, oh, of course you did. Miss Bilingual Queen.
Oh, yeah, you know, I think by now the regular listeners, they know how it is. I think what I also liked is how he kept on saying, and in most of his answers, he kept on saying, hey, you know, we're going to analyze, we're going to go back with my team, and we're going to see what we need to work on. So, yeah, I think this has given him a massive boost. I think this has given him the motivation to, you know, get what he needs to get back to the, to get to the top and keep on playing. Like, yeah, he has that. Everyone has potential, but his potential is different. He's really shown himself this summer. Yeah. He showed that his grind has really been in it.
Because he's basically there, like, he's there, pretty much. And yeah, he's actually going to be 23 in September, so...
Which is great, yeah, exactly.
He's still a young man.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just looking forward to seeing how far he can go. Like, I'm predicting top 50 by, like, middle of next year. Because I feel like he's got a lot to his game.
100%. Like, I'm with you on that one. But... honestly, yeah, shout out to Jalo. He was the last Canadian player left. Mm. That is it. The Canadians are out. Well, in terms of singles, I don't know about doubles, but in terms of singles, he is the last one. So, yeah, he held it for the country.
Held it down.
I did ask him, actually, what village he was from, because in his last the last press conference, he said that he was...
His dad was
from like a village in Guinea, and I was trying to figure out where, so I could ask my grandma as well. But he was like, "Oh no, I'm not. Actually, not sure." Then he explained when I was like, "Oh, okay, cool, fair enough." But yeah, but shout out to him, shout out to Guinea, shout out to Canada,
shout out to my Guineans.
And and a big congrats to Jalo for a successful run.
Indeed, man, well played. Doubles watch, Lucy. So we've had some wins in the doubles. So yeah, women's doubles, we've got Heather Watson and Asia Muhammad through to the last 16.
Mm-hmm.
Very unfortunate that they have to play Katerina Siniakova and Taylor Townsend, though, in that round. Townsend also, she won through today with Donald Young in the mixed doubles.
Mm-hmm.
So their journey continues. So they're through to the quarterfinals. And so is 16-year-old Tyra Grant and Alexander Kovacic, after beating Alicia Parks and Jackson Withrow, two Americans. Crazy to think Tyra Grant is only 16. Like, she's won a few girls' doubles Grand Slams.
Yeah.
Obviously with Claire V and I think Iva Jovic.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, like, she knows her way around the doubles court. So yeah, long may her run continue. It'd be good to try and catch catch a match if we can. During this US Open swing. Looking ahead to day 7, Lucy, order of play. So we've got Coco Gauff and Emma Navarro second on Ash. And then Frances Tiafoe versus Alexei Popperin, who
it's
upset
interesting.
Novak Djokovic. That's the first night session again on Ash. So some big matches there to look forward to. Hopefully two wins as well, I think.
Those are the only singles matches we have.
Yeah.
Rah.
Yep.
Oh no!
It's, we're getting to that time, and then Monday it would only be one because Paolini, Jazzy, holding it down.
She's really holding it down.
So, yeah.
How are we feeling for tomorrow?
Now I'm feeling good, man. Like, I'm looking forward to them, both of them. Mm-hmm. I think I can't get TFO's quotes about like how everybody on the tour is just like brilliant. Everyone can play.
Mm.
So he's like, yeah, man, guys are good. Like, you can get popped. No, clipped. Clipped is the word he used. Like, anyone can get clipped. And it's the truth. Look at Popperin yesterday,
mm-hmm.
beating defending champion Novak Djokovic in four sets. No one saw that coming. So, but I'm confident.
Tennis.
I'm confident TFO is going to get that done.
Yeah.
I'm going to say straight sets, but it could go to four.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Gauff-Navarro, that's a rematch of Wimbledon. I think Gauff is in a different place compared to that time at Wimbledon. Obviously, she's like the reigning or defending champion here.
Yeah.
I think she's just playing much better.
100%. I'm really glad that she's... Her game and mentality has changed coming to US Open, because I was worried.
She's played her way into form at the US Open, because coming in, she didn't have many wins. Like. Yeah. And to me, I wasn't worried, to be honest, because like we've kind of always said, she knows how to like rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's clearly what she's done
mm-hmm.
So far in New York. So It's going to be an entertaining match,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking forward to it. Who have you got? Well, not who have you got. What are your score predictions? Let's go Coco Navarro first.
Who's Coco facing again?
Emma Navarro.
Emma Navarro. Ooh. I'm going to say 3 sets
okay.
to Coco. Wow, Francis, I'm stuck between 4 or 5.
Wow. You think it's going to be another marathon? I can't see it.
What are you saying? Set of
I'm saying straights or four.
I'm saying 4.
Okay.
I'll stick with 4.
I'm going to go straights.
Let's see how it goes.
Let's see. But yeah, guys, man, thank you for tapping in. And yeah, we look forward to, again, keeping you, well, I say keeping you, filling you in about day 7. So until then, take care.
Peace.
Take care.